All right, we're in Jeremiah chapter 18. Our passage tonight is Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 18 to 23. We're just about to finish this chapter that started back with, we started a few weeks ago with Jeremiah going down to the potter's house and Jeremiah watching how the vessel became marred in the hands of the potter and how it was a sign to Israel or Judah at this time of have they rejected what the Lord had for them, or are they going to do their own thing, go their own way? And it got down to the end of the chapter, and this is really the second or third time in the book that this type of situation has come up where Jeremiah really has some problems with what's going on. He's the weeping prophet, and yet he's got some complaints. He doesn't understand why things are happening the way they are happening, and he voices those complaints to the Lord. Tonight I want to entitle the message, Taking Ministry Rejection Personally. Taking ministry rejection personally. And I know this is shocking news to anybody that's ever served in the ministry. There's going to be a lot of rejection. Well, Lord, I thought, we were going to have thousands and thousands come to Christ, and I was going to go into the classroom and all these kids are already going to be saved. I learned that real quick when I first started teaching. I had this expectation that all these kids were going to be saved. They knew the Bible frontwards and backwards, and they don't. They're coming from homes that many times don't even know the Lord, or they just want the environment, and it's an opportunity to witness to the kids and try to win them over. But you can't take the rejection of those things personally. Yes, it does hurt sometimes. Yes, it does discourage you sometimes. Say, Lord, it's discouraging when you teach and train and then or preach and there's nothing but rejection. But we got to come to the point, as Jeremiah had to come, and it takes a couple chapters until we get to chapter 20, until he comes to that conclusion that I shouldn't take this personally. The Lord has a plan. The Lord knows what He's doing. And the Lord is really hardening the heart of these people. And yes, it was sad for Jeremiah. It was discouraging for him. But the Lord was bringing them to the point of judgment. Several times, we've already looked at chapter 17 verses. We're not going to look at all of them tonight, but just by way of review, back in chapter 17, Jeremiah was upset about the mockery. He talked about, Lord, these people are mocking me and they're making fun of me, and all I'm doing is doing what You told me to do. And they're out there making fun and laughing, oh, Your word's not going to come. You be quiet, Jeremiah. This is a joke. And they belittled him and mocked him. And the Lord didn't respond to Jeremiah when he brought that complaint. Back in chapter 15, as we saw, there was a discontent with Jeremiah about the fact that he did right. Lord, I did everything You asked me to do. You called me to this ministry. You gave me the words to speak. I did exactly what You said to do. And yet these people still reject God. And yet their lives seem to be wonderful, and I'm experiencing a lot of suffering and pain and persecution. And remember, God responded to him back then in chapter 15 and told him, you're not allowed to be bitter about this. You just be faithful to speak the word. Remember, to separate the pure and the vile in your words. Do not let bitterness come in and infect your ministry to hurt these people. You keep preaching the word. Back over in chapter 12, there was a time where he moaned and groaned to the Lord and complained about the fact that all these people that are so evil are prospering. And they're getting along great, Lord, and I don't understand it. And the Lord again told him, hey, get over it. Get over it. You be strong and you continue on in the ministry. Now here in our passage tonight, he has another complaint to offer to the Lord. And the Lord doesn't respond, but as I said, in chapter 20, we're going to have some situations that the Lord allows to unfold in the life of Jeremiah that bring him to a conclusion in his mind where he's going to serve the Lord and he's going to do what he needs to do and say what he needs to say, even though the people reject and are upset and they may persecute him and they may laugh at him and belittle him. But we've still got to give the ministry that God's called us to do. Still got to be faithful to those things. So here in verse 18, the old people are at it again. Verse 18, let's read there. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Now here's Jeremiah speaking, verse 19. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? They've digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them, and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore deliver up their children to the famine, and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children, and be widows, and let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. You pick up something there? I stood before them. They digged a pit for me to take me, hid snares for my feet. Pretty harsh two verses there. Verse 23. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. Does it sound like Jeremiah might be taking the ministry rejection personally? Maybe a little bit. Now, I'm nobody to judge Jeremiah. I believe he was a great man. But I think there's lessons here for me to learn. Because we live in days, don't we, that people hate the Word of God. They hate when you speak the truth. They don't want you to proclaim that there's a judgment coming. They don't want you to dare say that what you're doing is sin. Don't say that word. Or as Pastor mentioned the other Sunday, don't say that little word no to anybody. They'll fly off the handle and lose their minds and be upset and do what verse 18 did and seek to attack you. Can't take it personally. It's hard. It's hard for me. It's hard not to. But the Lord says, I'm in control. God knows how He's going to handle these people. And yes, I think we all can empathize with Jeremiah a little bit, you know. But the one thing I admire about Jeremiah is that, yes, he had some complaints, and yes, he didn't understand some things, but you know where he went with it? You know where he went with it? He went to God with it. He went to the Lord with it. And I admire Jeremiah. He had such a relationship with the Lord that he could just literally say to the Lord how he was feeling. And you know, the Lord helped him work it out. The Lord put him through situations, and we're gonna see in chapter 20, he just said, you know what, I'm not gonna speak. They throw me in this pit, and I'm sunk down here in the mud and in prison, and this is just terrible. And I'm not gonna deal with these people, and I'm done. That's taking it a little too personal. What did Jeremiah come to a conclusion? The Word of God was as a fire burning in my bones, and I couldn't shut it up. But I've still got to do the ministry that God has called me to do. So let's look at some things here tonight as we talk about taking the ministry rejection personally. Again, here in verse 18, the people are right back at it. They're right back at it. First of all, they have a plan. It says here that they, in your King James, that they devise devices. That's actually the same root Hebrew word. They devise devices. They are laying out a very specifically planned and carefully thought out detailed plan that they're going to do. In other words, it doesn't say, well, let's just go get Jeremiah. No, they have actually spent time thinking of how they're going to do this process. To study, even, is the idea of the word, in detail, of how we can take Jeremiah down. You know, it's always good to plan something. It's good to have things detailed, written down, and make sure you do things the right way. And Miss Gamble's trying to help me get that way. She's got me this tickler file. If you don't know what that is, that means it's supposed to tickle your memory. And so we started building one here this month that write down details of everything we did for this banquet or for that event. And that way, I have the details and it's all planned out. That's the kind of the idea, strategize and think ahead. Well, they were doing it against Jeremiah. We're gonna make a plan. We're gonna meet several times. We're gonna discuss every possible scenario. We are gonna get this guy for telling us that we're gonna be destroyed. How dare he? We're the chosen people of God. And we've got the priest here and the wise and the prophets, and they're still proclaiming the truth. How dare Jeremiah speak up against us? This is what happens when you speak the truth, and among those who hate the work of God, those who do not like the Word of God, they want nothing to do with it, and they're going to attack. I always think back to what Richard Dawkins, that famous atheist, said when he had his atheism rally that he tried to get millions of people to come to D.C. for atheism, and only a few thousand showed up, and then it rained hard all day. I think God was kind of going, gotcha. But he got up there and said something like, when you meet these Christians in public, you know, you need to belittle them and mock them and make fun of them and make sure everybody knows it and do it in public to make them feel really bad. That's what the world thinks about Christianity. That's what the world thinks about truth. That's what the world thinks about this word. And so, yes, Jeremiah, you're doing what God said to do and you're proclaiming the truth and you're saying, hey, people, you're going the wrong way. And God, you've chosen the path of judgment. God had a path of blessing, but you marred that in His hand in chapter 18. Now you have the path of judgment. of cursing. You've chosen that. And all they got all upset. They got angry. How dare you? And what did they do? They didn't even think about the message. They went after the messenger. That old famous, you know, don't kill the messenger. I'm just delivering the message, you know. Well, they went after the messenger. They were not having anything to do with this. So they went after him. They made a plan. And then secondly, the reason for the plan is simply that they refused to believe God's word. Jeremiah had simply said, what the other priests and prophets and wise men are saying, and they were out there saying, oh, this is a wonderful season, and Jehovah's always with you guys. Don't worry. You're going to, no matter what the enemies come, we're going to conquer and do great. And Jeremiah is saying, they're liars. The judgment is coming. And notice in verse 18, here's what the people, the law is not perishing from the priest. Come on, give me a break. The council's not leaving the wise men. The word isn't leaving the prophets. Jeremiah, get over it. We've still got the prophets. We've got the wise men. We've got the priests, the very three groups of people that Jeremiah has been preaching against throughout the book. Well, we've got all them, Jeremiah. You mean to tell me that you're over here by yourself saying one thing and all of these people over here, the wise and the counselors and the prophets and the priests, are saying something else? We don't believe you, Jeremiah. They refuse to believe the word of God. You know, isn't it typically true that those who speak the truth are in the minority? There's Jeremiah by himself proclaiming that judgment's coming, and everybody else is giving these false hopes and false peace to everybody. You know, the fake news of today, perhaps. Maybe it was CNN. Maybe these guys work for CNN. I don't know. But they were all fake news, and they're trying to make the people feel good about themselves. They don't want to listen to the word of God. So what are we going to do? We're going to go after and attack Jeremiah. You know, they believed they were still in touch with God, and they weren't. They believe we're still in touch with God. We've still got Jehovah around here. And you know, being in touch with God and walking with Him is more than an outer show. Well, look at these priests and prophets and these wise men over here. Well, they're really in touch with God. I mean, look at them. They've got all the religious garb, perhaps, of the temple. They're going up to the temple at the right time, and they're doing everything just the right way. Boy, those are really saved people. Is that what salvation is about? Is that what walking with God and being in touch with God is about? Being in touch with God is more than some outer show. It's about what's going on in the heart. It's about choices to be separated from sin. It's about choices where I want to live for God. You know, and I know we've said this many times, but I'm so appreciative for Jonathan last week. You know, it's more than just, well, I grew up in a Christian school and a Christian church my whole life. You know, if anybody would have asked you, yeah, John's a pretty good boy. You know, he's there in church, he comes to Sunday school, and, you know, he doesn't sleep in Sunday school too often, just every now and then when I'm preaching. And, you know, he's a pretty good boy. He made it through the Christian school. He graduated by the skin of his teeth. But, you know, he did okay in Bible. He learned a few Bible verses. And he's a pretty good boy. Yeah, he's probably saved. It's easy to think that, isn't it? But John knew something different. And so did the Lord. There's more than this outer. We got the wise men. And look at how great these counselors and prophets are. To be sure they're in touch with God. They aren't. It has nothing to do with what your title is, where you've been, the jobs you've had, what you're doing in the temple for the Lord, doesn't mean anything. It's what's in the heart with the Lord. And Jeremiah was the only one over there by himself, separated to God, in touch with the Lord. And he's paying the price for it because the people are attacking him. They're basically, Lord, well, we've got the wise, we've got the prophets, we've got the priests. We don't need Jeremiah. Let's go get him. Let's devise devices against him. So then notice the attack that they do. Verse 18. Come and let us smite him with the tongue. Now, obviously, that's an idiomatic expression. To smite someone with the tongue, it literally is the word, the idea of the word attack here. It's a very harsh word, smite. It means to attack. It means to wound or to kill purposely. It's used in connotations as if you had a weed growing and you put Roundup or something on it. What happens? It just wilts out and fades away and begins to look like my front yard. It just goes and dies. That's the idea here. We want it dead. We want him quiet. And what we're going to do is we're going to attack him. Notice they didn't say we're going to get him with a sword and kill him. They didn't go that far. We don't want to murder anybody. But we want to attack him with the tongue. We want to go after him and let's not give heed to any of his words. So we can intimidate and belittle and verbally go after him, and then we're going to see in a couple of chapters, they went after him physically as well. And we're going to get him quiet because we can't have anything negative said against us. We're the great priests, prophets, and wise men. We've got it going on. And this man's being negative all the time. We got to hush him up. It is just the exact way that Christians are treated today. You try to speak the truth, I try not to get into arguments on like social media and stuff. Sometimes I scroll through comments and just laugh at people. It's just so shallow and the things they say, or, you know, you read a news story and there's all these people commenting under the news story. It's kind of hilarious. I don't ever try to squabble with those kind of people because it's like talking to mules and donkeys that are, or brick walls or something. I don't know. But if you say anything negative against them, they explode. Now, they have every right today. You know, we have our rights to say what we want. We got a free speech. Well, say something contradictory, and all of a sudden, that right doesn't mean anything anymore. Kind of strange. But that's the way these people are in the days of Jeremiah. We can say whatever we want, but Jeremiah, you can't say anything. We're going to belittle you and intimidate you, and you're going to get real quiet. We're going to hush you up. That's the way Satan works against God's Word, against the truth. He wants to intimidate people and scare them and make them feel you're the minority in society. You're pathetic. You know, nobody's going to listen to you. That's the way Satan works. Now look at Jeremiah's response. Our time is quickly going. They basically decided we're not going to pay attention. We're not going to give him a voice in society. We're going to silence Jeremiah. So Jeremiah's response is actually kind of harsh and vengeful. As we alluded to already, notice in verse 19, he pleads with God, God, listen to what these people are saying about me. They're attacking me. They're not believing the truth, and they're going after me. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be treated like this. Whenever we start talking like that, we've got to do a little backup and check real quick. We start talking like, Lord, I don't deserve to be treated this way, or I deserve better than this. Suddenly, we're having a little pity party where it's all about me. And again, I'm not attacking Jeremiah in this. I believe Jeremiah was a great man, and he took his complaint to the Lord, which is the right thing to do. But we've got to be careful about taking rejection in the ministry personally. And it's hard. Those that have been in this ministry for years, you know, Mr. Woods, since 1852. I mean, just kidding, brother. Been here for years, and Pastor Todd, and Mr. O'Pager, and Miss Pepper, and Mrs. Hobbs, and Tara, been here for a long time. Seen a lot of kids come through the school. Seen a lot of kids come through Sunday school. And Miss Pepper and I will often talk about the plaques down there, all those names, and what percentage of them are serving the Lord. It's discouraging when people reject the truth. We all can associate with Jeremiah right here. It's discouraging. But we can't allow it to bring bitterness. We can't take it personally to the extent that I can't effectively serve the Lord anymore. And what the Lord is trying to show Jeremiah here is that I'm in charge of the results. I know that I'm going to judge these people. You don't worry about it, Jeremiah. I got this. Okay, I can take care of these people. You don't have to sit here and pray that they're, you know, going to be bereaved of their children and widows and slain and bloody and terrible sin. You don't have to pray for that because the Lord already knows what He's going to do. I'm already in control, Jeremiah. You keep serving. You keep doing what's right. And don't take it personal. So in verse 20, notice some of the things again, Jeremiah. I've done good, basically. It says, shall evil be recompensed for good? Lord, these people are evil, and I'm doing good, and I'm the only one doing good, and now they're tearing me up and attacking me, and they're going to throw me in a pit and put me in prison, and all these other things. I don't deserve this, God. I'm doing good. Hear my case is the idea of verse number 20. It's actually some legal words are used in there. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them. Turn away thy wrath I tried to intercede for them, Lord. I delivered exactly what you said. I even interceded and prayed for these people. I did my job. And this is the thanks I get. Kind of the mindset that we see in this passage. They shouldn't treat me this way. I deserve better. And the Lord is going to show him some things coming in the future. And Jeremiah continues, verse 21, with this strong words against them with some terrible atrocities. We're not going to go into detail here, but famine. And pour out their blood by the force of the sword. I mean, this is some pretty strong language here. Let's let these people starve to death. I wouldn't wish famine on anybody. I mean, you know, it's hot and there's no food. That's a terrible situation, isn't it, Hafner? That's bad. Bad enough when it gets hot in Florida, but there's also no food when it's hot. We're going to all move up to Maine with Mr. Gower and at least have some cool temperatures. But he's saying, I want famine on these people, Lord. And I want you to pour out their blood. I mean, I don't want you to just kill them. I want the blood gushing. And I want their wives to be all upset. I want them to go through pain and agony watching their children die and watching their husbands die. And let the young men, the strong young men, be slain in battle. Well, these are some very harsh things. Let cries be heard. I want them to suffer the pain like they put me through. Little harsh. Bring a troop on them suddenly and surprise them like they tried to do to me. Look at the end of verse 22. They digged a pit to take me and hid snares from my feet. What does that mean? They tried to catch him sneaky, little ambush attacks. So what does he pray? Lord, do to them what they did to me. Now, is that the way the Lord would have us to be? What my mom always used to say when we were kids, you know, y'all all heard it. Do unto others, you would have them do unto you, etc. Or we would sometimes say, you mean, Mom, do unto others as they do unto me? No, son, wrong. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And like the Lord said, turn the other cheek, all those type of things. Look what Christ did, the example of Christ. If anybody had a reason to retaliate, it was our Savior. Isaiah 53 describes the terrible beatings that he suffered, and his visage was marred more than any man. Just unrecognizable. As a sheep before the shears, and he was dumb, and yet he opened not his mouth, and he didn't revile again. And he took it. That's our example. And yet we, Lord, they tried to trick me, so trick them back. I want to make it as most agonizing as possible. That's the way we act in the flesh many times. And the final analysis, I understand what Jeremiah is saying here. They're rejecting Jeremiah, but they are also rejecting Jehovah, because it was the word of Jehovah that Jeremiah was speaking. I understand what he's saying, but it seems that he's taking this a little bit too personal. Thou knowest all their counsel against me, to slay me. I stood before you to speak for good. It's kind of about me here. Verse number 23. Again, he's worried about them slaying him. He's worried about their treatment of him. And he didn't do anything wrong. And it seems that he might be even a little more upset about how he was treated than the fact that they rejected the Lord. And if we're not careful, we can go into that same mindset. I can't believe that after all these years of teaching so-and-so, that they went off and did their own thing. Lord, you better get them. Better not turn that way. Better not think that way, or you judge them. That's not our job. Our job is, Lord, they're still alive and breathing. Please reach them and convict them. That's what should be on our hearts and minds. There's still time for that soul. And when we hear of some of our graduates or other young people or perhaps people that we've had a chance to minister to in the church or the community, and we hear about things happening in their lives, our prayer should be, Lord, speak to their heart through that. Not, oh, see, the Lord's getting them. We better be careful with that kind of mindset. They rejected me. How dare they? Who do we think we are? They rejected God. And we need to pray that the Lord will continue to convict and work in their hearts. God allowed the people to persecute Jeremiah. After this complaint, you know what happens next in chapters 19 and 20? He gets put in prison and treated the worst he's been treated so far after he prayed this prayer. Now that's the Lord's response to his complaint. He really gave it to him. He let the people unleash on him. In other words, the Lord is saying, look, the rejection of God's word through my messenger is part of God's plan to judge the people. Don't take it personally. The Lord's in charge. He's going to get the judgment. And it's hard. I mean, in our country and in our world today, and we see all the things happening in our country that make us upset and sickening, things that are going on in the sin of our world. It's hard. Lord, what are you doing in here? Why are you doing this? And we begin to question. The Lord says, you just continue to minister. And we're going to leave those things in the Lord's hand. And here Jeremiah got all upset. And Lord, you better rip these people up. And God said, okay, go sit in a prison for a while. Lord, that's not the answer I was looking for. Because it was kind of all about me, wasn't it? It's all about me. They reject people in our society today, and in Jeremiah's day, as it always has been, they're rejecting God. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Word of God, and they may take it out on you. So having bitterness or expecting to be treated a little bit better is kind of idealistic. God help us to be faithful in the ministries that He's called us to do. Not take things personally. Not to resort to a vengeance or bitterness. But to, yes, take our complaints to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with, you know, Jeremiah went to the Lord with this. That's the right thing to do. And Lord, I don't understand this. And the Lord used this prison experience in chapter 20 to bring him to a conclusion that God's Word's more important than me being rejected by people. Do we believe that? God's Word's more important than me. And Jeremiah said, I can't be quiet. The Word is burning as a fire shut up in my bones. And he went right back out there and kept on preaching. Why? Because God's Word's more important. So in a tough situation, and in a society, in a world, in a culture that hates God and hates the truth, and we may be the minority like Jeremiah was. We may be the only voice speaking over here. And they're listening to all their priests and prophets and counselors and wise men. We're going to keep on serving the Lord. We're going to do it with the right heart, with the right attitude, until He returns. Father, thank you so much for the example of Jeremiah. Lord, we're in no way demeaning the prophet. He was an incredible, great man of God. But Lord, he didn't understand some things that were happening, just like we go through. Lord, we're people. He was a person too. And we go through things just like the prophet did. Father, I pray that judgment or a judgmental, vengeful spirit would not be found in us. That, Lord, we would continue to work. We would pray for those that we come into contact with in the ministry. That we would desire to see them come to Christ, to grow in the things of God, and to come to accept the Word of God. Lord, help us to not be bitter, to not take things personal, and to think in our pride that we deserve better. But, Lord, may we do whatever you've called us to do and suffer whatever may come our way, but to be faithful through it all and to give honor to our Savior through it all. Now, Lord, bless us this week. Help us to walk with you, to die to ourselves daily, to continue to conform to the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.